I'm in the pocket.
In the pocket. You're in the zone.
Don't let me into my zone, though it's far too late for that.
I don't know what that means.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Also, hello there. There's a world out there. This is a live episode.
Live on TV. Live. We could be on people's TVs. I don't think anyone's actually watching.
No. And that's a sad kind of thing where you can see how many people are involved with your live broadcast. It is Saturday afternoon. People have things to do.
Yeah.
But you and I are here.
Yeah.
To represent the things that are going to happen.
Things are going to happen.
Episode 30.
Episode 30.
Oh, there'll probably actually be actual music. So I don't
need to. Now you have to sample yourself playing like electric guitar.
Okay.
Whatever you were just doing.
I think that was like a marimba. I was thinking a marimba beginning of a newscasting show, because that's what it looks like on the web broadcast.
Yeah. This is actually kind of exciting because I think I'm going to start doing some live video shows.
Okay.
Now that I see how this works. ladies and gentlemen.
In this episode, Josh and I are live, obviously, but I think Josh is realizing that he no longer needs me anymore. He sees himself on the screen. He's rarely in front of the lens, usually behind it.
Oh, I'm not even anywhere near the lens.
Or usually they don't let him near the lens. Yeah. That's how serious it is.
Yeah, but they usually just hand me a hard drive and turn the lights off and say, all right, make something.
But here I've come into Josh's world, pointed a webcam right at his face.
Yes.
And told him, give me a Miller High Life and let's record the 30th episode of our podcast.
Yeah.
Should we clink the coffees?
No. We gotta clink several. The High Life. Okay. We have lots of drinks here.
We have a few.
Let's see. Wait.
Oh, are we doing it in?
Yeah.
That's synchronicity.
Cheers.
That's the kind of synchronicity that Josh and I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you set the tempo and I'm just right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This episode's at 120 beats per minute.
Each of our episodes are about 120 if you...
Yeah.
If you're looking to remix, we're having a Tag H remix contest.
Yeah.
So, you know, just look out for the link on SoundCloud.
Yesterday, maybe the day before, I was walking down the street and I swear to God this happened. A guy walked up to me and said...
So far, the story is unbelievable.
Yeah. The guy walked up to me and said, hey, do you want a free mixtape?
Yeah.
And I said... No, absolutely not.
You didn't even give him a chance?
No. He could have been the next.
Yeah.
He could have been the next Jay-Z.
And yeah, absolutely. Who's to say?
I looked at him. I had a pretty good indication he wasn't going to be the next Jay-Z.
Was it the...
He was too light-skinned.
Was it the Fila jacket that he was wearing?
it was this neighborhood, so yeah. It was the $85... Fila jacket he was wearing.
Damn, what a price point.
That was brand new.
Yeah. You had on a pair of lugs.
Yeah.
Can I just bring up the Ross brands right now? Is that
cool? Oh, yeah.
That cool?
Are people, is FUBU still a company?
Oh, I think that's information that we need to know right now. but I'll definitely entertain. I think you should... Let me open up the Google box.
Yeah.
And should I ask if FUBU is still a company or should I just look it up?
I don't know.
Because sometimes if you ask Google questions, you'll get like the rest of the world's asking the same question just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you look up cat pee and it's like how to get out of and how much can I buy at one time? And you're like, oh, I didn't realize that was...
Everyone needs to know how much cat pee you can buy at any given time. It's important to know.
Right. You know, FUBU is, you know, it's who's to say it doesn't really, like, apparently they've released a record. Did you know that?
FUBU has a record?
FUBU has
a record. Solange song.
From 2001 to 2003, FUBU established a record label, first releasing a compilation album entitled The Good Life.
Okay.
And then an album by 54th Platoon entitled All or Nothing.
Okay.
Two very prominent themes in the early aughts, for sure. So FUBU was right on brand with that.
Yeah.
It got to 52 on the U.S. Billboard 200 and number 9 on U.S. R&B. So, I mean,
wow,
it had to have had some fire on it, right? Like,
yeah. Let's see. You said 2001 to 2003?
Yeah. So you got Good Life, Nas, Nate Dogg, Fatty Girl. I remember that song. Uh-huh. Less Ludacris, LL Cool J.
All right.
Maybe this is kind of like a kids bop kind of thing where it's just like a compilation CD is like, yo.
But it's the kids censored versions of Ludacris songs.
Well, I hope it's not like covers, but it's like, yo, we got these WAV files.
Oh, I actually want a 13-year-old like version of all of those songs. Like a 13-year-old performs all those songs.
I mean, you can just also listen to Lil Wayne because he was like 13 when he started. So
yeah, I don't want to listen to Lil Wayne.
Same.
I'm not a fan.
Happy afternoon, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one down here. Down here in Los Angeles in your living room. It's a good setting for 30.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're 30 episodes old? Do you feel mature?
Well, you were on your drive down here where you were texting me some of our topics from the first few episodes.
Yeah.
And I barely remember any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe because I listened to them so often that I definitely remembered them.
Yeah? You're listening to them all the time?
Well, no, I definitely don't remember BB Edit.
I don't remember that being a thing.
You were on fire about a text editor. Do you remember BB Edit?
I use it almost every day.
Oh, you still do?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's consistent. Yeah. I did want to get into like what's still the same. So much has changed.
Everything's the same. Nothing is the same. What was 3 years ago?
You've lived in two separate places.
I have moved and then moved again.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah. I no longer have that office that we recorded.
Oh, right. Where the cheesecloth was born. Mm-hmm. That was... I learned a lot that day about cooking.
Yeah.
You still do teach me quite a bit, but there was like a lot of one-way education of the early days were just you explaining things to me.
Yeah, I was mansplaining to you.
You mansplained Drake to me.
Well, I continually do that.
I do see. One of the cool things was Gold Link. I think that was a fun – because we got into detail about being surprised – to see someone say the N-word so often in front of a KCRW audience.
Yeah.
An NPR audience isn't always ready for that type of behavior.
Yeah, except for that's the audience that's probably using the word the most.
Yeah. Did you see that Ice Cube response to Bill Mayer? Is this radar?
It's on my radar. It's on my radar. I saw Ice Cube was on. I read his opening statements. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's cool. Bill Maher's not going to learn anything.
He was trying, though.
I don't know.
I'm saying that Ice Cube was trying. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of effort behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I just
Ice Cube it. Also released a new song this week because he's releasing either an anniversary album.
Weird.
Of... something. I don't know. Anybody released a new track?
Oh, damn.
It's called Good Cop, Bad Cop because he's got one theme. he is on brand, Ice Cube is.
That guy has talked about cops for 40 straight years.
His career is built on the backs of cops that he hates. Some of them he likes. I mean, it's good cop, bad cop. So there's got to be at least some positive representation.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like I could imagine it now.
It's pretty good.
It goes, good cop, bad cop, right?
Yeah, that's how he speaks. That's all it is. Almost every line has the word cop.
Yes.
Which I feel like it's not fair.
Yeah, you know.
Like if you have one word in every line of your song and you're rhyming to that, that's cheating.
You don't validate that is good lyric writing.
No.
No. That doesn't pass the Cole barometer.
No.
I get you.
No. Like a 4-minute song where every line ends with the word cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that interesting.
If this song is not that, I'll be disappointed. But we can come back to it. I mean, listen to it live on the show.
Nah, yeah. No, we can do a lot of things. We're on camera.
We are on candid camera.
Yeah.
I just had to get that out there. I didn't want to say it, but yeah, just had to say it at least once.
Yeah, it is sort of candid. We're not playing to the camera. I'm not looking at it, winking at it.
Yeah, hey, world. Man, this is a really popular stream so far.
You know,
I think it's you and I.
It's I hearted it. yeah,
but you're loose with the hearts. I see you on Twitter. I see you liking stuff.
Yeah, no, it's mostly like bookmarking things for future reference.
Do you ever look at your likes?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Sometimes I look at my tweets, my tweets that I composed to like see if I'm still funny on Twitter.
That is, and what did you think?
I'm pretty good on Twitter.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't think people are really giving me the respect I deserve on Twitter.
I mean, you've got so many outlets now. You've got the Twitter, you've got the podcast. Now you're video casting pretty much.
Yeah.
Your hair is doing great things.
Yeah.
Probably like about 70 curls a minute. It's going real fast.
It's very curly right now.
It's a good look, man.
It's also very long.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's impressive. It's an impressive long.
Yeah.
I guess I'm so used to saying that we're in a distance episode or we're in the same room, but it's obvious. Like we've established this, but seeing this mane in a whole new light, like
I've barely got it cut this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a little sides, a little back, a little cleanup, but the top has been growing all year.
We're gonna keep this up?
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get like a full Kenny G mane. Like if I can get it all the way down.
Now that's a person that didn't get the respect he deserves. Kenny G released a platinum album and immediately got ridiculed.
Yeah,
at least by the teenage crew.
Maybe yeah,
because I mean respect everywhere else.
Yeah, well, look, Kenny G is one of the great Christmas albums.
Oh. Does he?
Yeah.
I feel like I know that that's true, but can you refer, like...
Well, it's just smooth, just jazz Christmas songs. He's got a great saxophone play over, you know, Christmas songs. I can't think of a single Christmas song.
I would wish, and they're all instrumental, generally, Kenny G songs.
Oh, right? Yeah. I don't think Kenny... I would love if Kenny G dropped some bars in the middle.
I know. I was thinking that exactly. Like, what if after all of these years of instrumental hits...
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, about 2 minutes into a, you know, a new Christmas single...
Yeah.
He just starts...
Yeah,
flowing because he can't stop.
Yeah, it's like he sees Trombone Shorty out there.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, I could do that. Speaking of Christmas songs, last week I saw Boys to Men opening with Paula Abdul.
Which was like opening. Christmas for you, right?
Well, Boys to Men was. Because at one point in time, Boys to Men, they picked up instruments, which I didn't know they knew how to do.
Yeah.
Two of them, one had a bass, of course.
Okay.
And then the
they all play bass.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen South Park. Sean Stockman, who's actually the only famous one of that crew. He grabbed an electric guitar and ripped it.
Oh.
And then they did a cover of a Bruno Mars song, which was like full circle for me. I can barely handle.
Wait,
Boys to Men covering Bruno Mars, who last year released the best Boys to Men record in 20 years.
Wow. So your entire there's rarely a more full circle than something you knowing inside to be true.
Yeah.
And then those external forces verifying that, oh, yes, that is true. We not only know who Bruno Mars is.
Yeah.
We're going to complete this for you. So they had a Josh Mom. Did they also sing Happy Birthday to you?
No.
It would have been late.
It's funny. They only played songs from 1994. Like every single song they played came out was one album. I mean, they only played like 30, 40 minutes.
Because
they opened.
Oh, wow.
And then Paula Abdul came out.
Yeah.
Lip synced.
You really think so?
Oh, I'm positive.
Oh,
because she was dancing, and she's 50 something, and she was struggling. She was great. I mean, she puts on a great show, which is why she came on after Boys to Men. Boys to Men had a little bit of dancing,
yeah,
and then they were like, We're Boyz II Men. We're just
right.
missing.
Right.
We're going to stand in a semicircle.
You're going to sway a little bit.
Yeah.
If you got a sweetie in there.
And then at one point in time, we're going to do, I'll make love to you. Mm-hmm. We'll grab some roses. We'll walk into the crowd and just hand out roses.
Yeah.
While we sing, I'll make love to you. And right. then I feel weird because I'm like, I want to be up there.
Yeah, right. No, it's. Remember the D'Angelo show?
And yeah.
He ended with Untitled
yeah.
for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Did Boyz II Men end with I'll Make Love to You for 10? Because that would
no.
be.
No, no.
I feel like.
That would be amazing.
That
I would still be crying. A solid week later, I would still be crying. But the weird thing with the show, the headliner of the show was New Kids on the Block, mm-hmm. Which the most bizarre thing about this concert, well, there was many, many, many bizarre things in this concert.
Was?
I'll get to it. So I knew every Boyz II Men song, yeah. every lyric, every beat,
every move,
every run. I knew everything that was going to happen. Paula Abdul came out. I knew one Paula Abdul song. Mm-hmm. I knew two New Kids on the Block songs.
Right.
So for about Such 2 hours, for about 2 hours, I didn't know anything that was happening.
Right.
So
right.
it was purely observational. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the set, New Kids on the Block played a Christmas song.
What?
Yeah. They just were like, they were going through the hits,
yeah.
you know, like the background would change and it would be an album cover
yeah.
from 1992
right.
and the entire crowd of 42-year-old women would go ape shit.
Whoa.
They would go crazy.
Whoa.
They'd see the album cover. They would immediately lose their fucking minds.
Now, the music wasn't playing, right? It was just the album cover?
Well, the album cover would come up, and they would start to get into whatever the hit was from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
So, like, Donnie Wahlberg, who is a member of New Kids on the Block, was kind of narrating us through their story.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and he was like, in 1994... Y'all showed up again.
Y'all showing out.
And then they had their Christmas album popped up. Mm-hmm. And the screen started to snow. So like a screensaver from 1994.
This is the most Los Angeles thing to ever
happen. Yeah, it was at the Hollywood Bowl too.
Yeah, perfect.
So,
yeah. The only place where you could hold such.
Our greatest musicians of the 90s.
Yeah.
New Kids on the Block. It was very odd and very sad because mm-hmm. only two of them can still dance.
Oh.
So there's five members, right? There's right. five members of New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, no, I'm deep in the wiki right now. So like
one of the guys is clearly a father of four who is only
cuz that just shows externally, right?
Oh yeah.
You can tell it's like the rings on a tree like
he was like out of shape. He was wearing like a t-shirt. He wasn't. So the other four members of New Kids.
This is a reunion show, right?
No, this is like their second tour in a couple years.
How are you going to wear a t-shirt though? Still
Here's the thing. The other four members are ripped. I mean, I have like one of the dudes is in the kind of shape where he can do a solo in a song, put the shirt above his chest, do some dancing and it's fine. It's awesome. Fine. He looked like he just walked off the set of Magic Mike.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what we're talking about at the coffee shop, right?
Right.
I was saying like, I want the later years to be like, this is the best I've ever looked.
Yeah.
Just to toss it on his head. Just
yeah.
to be like, I know it doesn't make sense that I'm 50 and like can lift a car. But I can't.
Well, you want that, like, do you remember when Dr. Dre reappeared?
Yes.
And he came out and he was ripped. I mean, he was huge.
Yes,
he's still pretty big.
Yeah.
But like.
No, he had shoulders. It's like he had the shoulder. He
was enormous.
Right, yeah. They had to make shirts for that new frame.
Yeah. Yeah. He had like, it's like Dr. Dre disappeared for a couple of years. And in that time, he ate 50 Cent. Like he came out and looked like 50.
Yeah, it was a very Dragon Ball Z thing. Mm-hmm. He went to the hyper training center uh-huh. and ate another character from the show
yeah.
and then came back and it was only he had aged like 40 years or it was like 40 years training time for
yeah.
him. And then when he came back he was like
younger and hotter.
I broke all of my machines, my fingers just go straight through my Beat machines now. So, yeah. So we're going to make headphones now.
Yeah.
But it's good to have goals.
It is good to have goals. I want to make some headphones. I think I could sell some headphones.
Just like every other technology, is it Bluetooth headphones? Is that your?
I think there's a possibility there. Bluetooth headphones. I think that's the future. Do you remember when Ludacris came out with headphones?
No,
wasn't it Luda? Because Beats came out, and then all like two or three other rappers thought they could also license.
Yeah.
And I think Ludacris's headphones were only sold at Radio Shack.
Yeah, I think they were gold, right? I remember them being involved with gold. Ludacris, I feel like rap is a side project that really took off, and he's just really trying to like sell rims.
Look, Ludacris is in a rarefied air of actor who is on a multi-billion dollar franchise.
Yeah.
He had like a bit role in one Fast and Furious movie.
Yep.
Reappeared a couple movies later, and now he's like he's on a list of like actors who have made the most money, or not maybe made the most money, but his movies have made the most money.
Damn.
Yeah.
The Fast and Furious series it's
like an $8 billion franchise.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's insane.
Now compare,
because there's eight movies and they've each made a fuck ton of money. Like this is global $8 billion or something.
Right. I mean, does a global movie essentially have to be an action movie? I mean, I don't think it does. I'm not a global,
like, more or less.
To a success for the success. Like,
yeah, the big movies are action movies.
I was going to say, like, what is it stacked next to? Is there any movie that's like translated that like actually like works? Is it
Titanic? Maybe the only like non-action movie.
How can
that's made that much money?
Okay.
That's on that level.
Right, right.
That's actually like worked in China, worked in Britain, worked in France, you know?
I'm just wondering, like, no, like, it's not like jokes or like true, like the experience is just different, but a car blowing up, that's the same in every language.
Yeah, it really is. And like Fast and Furious, they had Tokyo Drift, you know, they had all of Japan.
Oh, right.
Like I think they shot in Japan. They had like all of Japan like down, like, oh, this is a movie for us. So then they were like a hit there.
That's what you got to do.
Lil Bow Wow was in that movie.
So you know where Tag H has to go next, right?
Japan.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, one. Okay, wait. I could either talk about more about Bow Wow, or I could talk more about how we need to go to Japan.
I think yes. Oh, wait. We've got somebody.
Hey there. Whomever. Yeah. We can't see. We're not close enough to the screen.
It's fine. But we wave.
You wave, and then you... Let's talk about a more prominent black figure than Bow Wow. Same stature, though. Same height of fame.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Kevin Hart.
Okay.
I want to talk about...
You're saying stature as in height. Okay. They're both short.
It's impossible to talk about him without addressing his Tom Cruise figure.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I think that's pretty true.
I wanted to talk about it a couple of episodes ago when you were in the thick of, editing,
but you
X'd that out. So basically Kevin Hart has come out with a new, not special, but is it a special?
He's got a book.
A book.
He's on a book tour.
But I mean, there's also a video element. I saw it, right?
Or is it the thing I did?
Oh, is that the only kind of video-esque piece that goes along with it?
I don't know. It's Kevin Hart. He's right. All the verticals are filled.
Right.
Book, radio, movies, TV, Instagram videos,
yeah, we are,
Snapchat,
yeah.
Workout videos.
Talk about Dre transformations. Like, yeah. Dude, what is going on?
Dude, like there's a picture, and I think I could find it. I think it was actually for the audience, I was super lucky and got on a project starring Kevin Hart that I was able to edit, and you know, it'll be in the show notes if you haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. But I think he posted on Instagram, and I think the image before our video went up. Is a picture of Kevin Hart doing like push-ups, but like the kind of push-ups where you would like clap, like you would spring up, mm-hmm. clap, and then, you know, land and keep, you know, do 10 reps of that or whatever. But but I think he's crossing his arms like across his chest. Mm-hmm. So he does the push up, springs up, crosses his arms, and then lands, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's a still, I don't know what he's actually doing, but it's insane. I can't do a normal push up.
Yeah.
I can't do one real push up.
It's kind of crazy, guys, because he's right. I've never seen him do a push-up, but he's in the best shape of his life, and we can finally see it. We can see it, and it's a real thing. But
even though I twisted my ankle playing basketball 5 minutes into the game.
Josh is experiencing...
aggravated at walking.
Yesterday. Your use of the word aggravate here definitely matures the conversation.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a teenager or a mid-20s person says, I hurt myself.
Yeah.
But definitely when you get into the mid-30s era, you're saying I aggravated a previous ailment.
Yeah.
Because life was fine before I twisted in the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I got too competitive against my friends playing basketball. I just wanted to be on a winning team for once.
I'm just glad that you're expressing yourself. You're getting out there. You're playing ball.
Yeah.
But before we get into your basketball career, so Kevin released a book, and there's all the media funnels, and you got to be like smack dab in the process of one. I mean, you were even kind of cutting music to it. They liked you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really interesting experience because, I've never done a fashion video of this, kind of, because it was more or less like Kevin Hart wearing, I think it was Gucci clothing, primarily Gucci clothing, looking incredible.
Yeah. That suit is rented.
Oh my, that suit is beautiful. That suit's
really nice. That suit looks like a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, like a fashion video thing. It was interesting, getting not so much notes or anything from Kevin directly, but through the director who I was working with closely. It was a very interesting experience. And then we finished it on a Wednesday night. And I think it was 9 or 10 at night where I'd sent the cut to, the director Mo. I sent it to him. We watched it and we're like, is there, he called me. He was like, is there anything you just don't feel is right? Anything. Just speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, either we spend another month on it and it barely changes, or we send it now and we just kind of all right, cool. And then the next morning, I got the text from Mo saying it's online. I didn't know when he was launching it.
Yeah.
And B, it hadn't even been 12 hours since we had sent it to Kevin.
Wow.
And he was like,
that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's done. Done. Download, save, upload, Instagram. Hey, here's this cool thing I did. My book's coming out soon.
Shit. So you didn't even get to prepare.
I had no preparation.
Because I would have been I would have had people over. I would have when someone's casted it in a movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a TV show that airs at a certain time. I would have been he's going to post it on Instagram in 5, 4, and then you see it.
Yeah.
So you saw it probably when it was
200,000 people had already seen it.
Yeah. I think I saw it right around there, or maybe even.
I sent it to you immediately.
Yeah. I was so happy for it. I'm still beaming about it. So.
Well, so for me, this project was super cool, and I love it. And, it's like congrats. This little 60-second fashion thing, and it's really fun, and it was really interesting, and I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. But selfishly, the coolest part of working on this project.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready.
Kevin Hart's, it's dope. But I happened to go on Instagram when J.R. Smith, starting shooting guard from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Eastern Conference champions, reigning world champion, J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, who spent last summer shirtless, all around my favorite human being.
just on the planet. Just right. Wait. He makes a shot in a game, and I'm probably more excited than he is. Like, anyone, yeah. Like, I love watching the Cavs. All those dudes, like, yeah. If they play well, like last night, mm-hmm. Where it's super fun. But when J.R. Smith is involved,
yeah,
it's everything.
Right.
And I happened to go on, and it said liked by J.R. Smith, by Team Swish. And I was like, screen cap, this is all that matters.
It's great to me because I do think I can relate to that feeling of there's the accomplishment.
Yeah.
But then there's the accomplishment that no one else will truly understand.
Yeah.
But you will never understand that it's like it's the side effect or,
yeah.
Or what it could be.
I didn't even know that was possibly a thing that could happen.
Right.
And then it did.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is the greatest thing.
Like a whole lot of people that you respect probably like that video.
Yeah. There's a lot of. I didn't go through all the likes because there was a lot of them.
Yeah. It's generally in the thousands.
Yeah. A few thousand. I didn't want to scroll through there looking for the blue check marks to see which famous person likes that.
I don't find that activity. If you do that, I would not be ashamed of it.
I thought about it.
Yeah.
I was like,
how good am I really?
Yeah.
Well, cheers. I'm glad you got a victory in there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is only the second quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. This is why your whole life might be different. We talked about it, but I feel like this explains a little bit about that couch that we're still waiting on.
Yeah, the couch.
I still don't see anywhere.
No.
But
I did get an update on the couch. I told you about the update on the couch.
Well, you told me that it was in design. It was in design review or something.
The material has been approved.
Right.
Okay. So just so you guys know, it hasn't, I don't know if it's been ordered.
Right.
But someone did say, yeah, we'll get some cloth, get some wood. I told you, I'm really excited for the update. It's like we hammered a nail. And then there's another email like that's like 4 days later. We hammered the second nail.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, it's like we stapled the cloth to the back of the wood.
Like, let me get that text message update on this for sure. And whenever someone's like, hey, can we give you some text message updates? Like, nah.
I can't do that. Those Postmate text updates.
Oh, yeah.
Those are everything.
They are. That's going to be a big Postmate day for you.
Oh,
when
yeah.
The couch is here. You're like, I have to test this out with
a Jenny's ice cream 7 minutes away.
let's get into some more here. Some more like episode 30 type of material, you know, like that shit that you commemorate that real good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
about. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
This Jermaine Jackson. Jermaine Jackson.
Oh my God.
The Tag H audience would like a
can
word.
Can you pull it up? Can you pull up the image?
Yeah, I figured I'd pull it up for you. And we'll have this in the note for.
In the show notes. Thing. Oh man, you're struggling.
How do you? There it is. Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes you.
Yeah, we're trying new stuff. we're constantly evolving this show.
Earlier in this week, Josh sent me a photo of Jermaine Jackson, which I didn't know that we were still tracking this young man.
Well,
but he has a haircut that is reminiscent of a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I think you sent me a picture of a cartoon tunnel.
yeah, it kind of looks. It's the straight on shot that looks like a it looks like something that the Roadrunner would run through.
Yeah,
and the coyote would get stuck onto it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm wondering where you get Jermaine Jackson news, Josh.
Come on. Twitter.
Yeah, but like who?
Oh, look, do you see that? You follow enough Twitter, that's going to bubble up to the surface pretty quickly.
My favorite thing about this is that one is called The Grapevine. Uh-huh. Two is that the post was at 5:45 a.m.
It was in France. I think that was at Cannes.
Oh, okay. So, right.
So the time does make sense.
I kind of do wish that someone said people have questions about Jermaine Jackson's hair, and mm-hmm. it was like I need to like wake the crack of dawn. Like I need that inspiration point.
Yeah. I'm also very confused about, so Jermaine Jackson's like 65 and he looks, his 35. Hair.
He's what?
I said he looks 35.
Yeah, he does. He looks a little better than Obama right now.
Oh no, Obama.
I'm just trying to aggravate.
Yeah. But I'm very confused about the stunning woman that he is at Cannes with in this page.
Oh, really? You don't know about
her? I don't understand.
Mede Balakes.
Okay. All right.
Mede Balakes.
That's probably
wrong. Mede Balakes.
That's probably wrong.
Age 23.
Yeah. See, that's how old's Jermaine? I know it has to say earlier.
61.
61.
I feel like it's a good ratio.
Are you looking forward to 61 so you can find you can finally get the 23 year old?
When I'm in the best shape of my life at 60, the 23 year old. I just feel like the rule of thirds is always good for comedy, and especially with
you should only date somebody a third your age.
I think that you should try.
Okay, well, I think unfortunately we've got a few years before we can actually.
Oh, yeah. If we did that now,
yeah. We'd be in that like Cosby mess.
Do you think there's like Tinder for kids, just like that want to play with trucks? You know,
what are your
like
favorite toys?
Like play date?
Yeah, exactly.
Tinder, play.
If not, we add Bluetooth to it.
Oh, right, You could do this with an arranged type of thing.
Yeah, it's like Uber. For play dates.
I do think that's the show Silicon Valley was definitely thought of by a conversation that started exactly like this.
Yeah.
It's just like name things of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the Lyft for giraffes activity? I don't know. Animals don't have swiping apps.
Not that we're aware of. It's like a Toy Story thing. We don't know what they're doing. We're not looking. I've seen Zootopia.
Did they have cell phones in Zootopia?
I feel like they did.
I feel like if animals had like access to texting, like a dolphin, be like, is there any fish down there? Just be a bunch of wave emojis.
Hey, yo. Dolphin here. Echo. Oh, man. What up?
Well, do you think like Jermaine and Mede? How would you say this? It's M-A-D-A-Y.
Yeah, it's Mede.
Okay, so like Mede's
Velasquez.
Velasquez?
Yeah.
No, that's Velasquez. Right? Look at the syllables.
Velasquez.
Let's not argue semantics. The point is she's 23, he's 61. She has like kimojis.
She looks like Shakira. I think she's actually Brazilian, so that would, you know.
Okay.
Kind of applied, but like
check out.
Yeah, but like I'm just mostly she's in this photo, she would look to her right, and next to her with his arm on her back is Jermaine Jackson. Like the least Jackson.
I feel like we need a buzzer for when you're about to throw shade. Like is sometimes
Jermaine Jackson said when Michael passed, I wish it was me. And everyone agreed.
I knew I would have to take a drink for what you're going to say there. Yeah, that family.
Janet just had twins or is in the midst of twins.
We both wanted to talk about Janet immediately, and I do appreciate that about you.
She's like 45 with twins.
Yeah, that's a good age.
It's science, man. Science and money.
You can cure disease, or you could also just say, "Oh no, I'm biologically ready to have children."
Yeah, I'm going to turn that switch on now that biologically should have been off.
Are those Janet baby names public?
Oh, I don't know. Right. I don't know if she's had the kids. I feel like Twitter would have told me that.
Right, okay.
And you know, I'm deep in the Black Twitter community.
Yeah, I do respect that about you.
I feel like I'm not yet a voice in the community?
No, no one respects you. I'm just saying that you're there.
No, that's a fact.
That you that's you volunteer. Fact. You know, you're kind of like janitorial staff. Of Black Twitter,
gladly janitorial.
Just kind of like cleaning stuff up.
Yeah,
sort of just making sure that you're not in the way of anything. It's really, we really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Me and the others, we talk about you all the time. Like,
oh, I appreciate
we'll
it.
Get that. We'll get him that blue check mark next year for sure.
Yeah, I feel like I. You know, Brandon. I think in 2018. We got to get that blue check mark.
I think in 2018, got to get that blue check mark. I'm also going to try to figure out why Janet Jackson's baby is white as hell. Why?
Because I think daddy's white.
Oh, man. That is.
Well, okay. To be fair.
That is some clear genre mixing. Which is fine.
Fair. I mean,
like, I'm just surprised.
You know.
Because she's pretty brown.
She's pretty brown. I think things change pretty quickly in the baby. Right.
Oh, what?
Like I think skin tone can change.
Oh,
like I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, we definitely darkened me up. Like right after I was born, we had that whole thing.
You got the melanin machine.
Yeah. You know, they're like, oh, did you want a darker shade? And some people are like, no. Can we go lighter? It's like, no, we can only go darker.
It's a one way. It's a one way street.
But once you pop this out, you're like, oh, I mean, okay.
But like,
come on.
I don't know how babies work. But if I look at this baby, that baby looks, skin tone aside, looks kind of like a white baby. I can't really. All babies look the same. Black, white.
Got some thick lips though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sexualizing a baby. I'm just saying they are lips of a thick one.
Yeah, but all babies kind of look exactly the same. Here's the thing.
All babies look exactly here's the thing. Same.
When people say, that's a beautiful baby.
Yeah.
They are lying. Because there are no beautiful babies.
Oh.
Because all the babies look the same.
So why can't all babies be beautiful?
Well, then why even say anything? Like, hey, your baby looks like a baby, and that's an implied beauty.
It's kind of, let me tell you something. Happiness is a choice.
I mean, there are ugly babies. You've seen those babies that like
your
old
point
man.
Is that there are no beautiful babies, but there are ugly babies. Yeah. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for
it's like a zero or one.
You know, I'm gonna have to have you say something positive later for that, right?
Yeah, babies are fine. I'm sure. I'm sure they bring you great joy with your lack of sleeping and, you know, freedom.
They eventually pay off.
Okay, Brandon, we're both 30. Well, you're almost 30.
Yes. Episode 30. Hey, episode 30. We've got one live viewer right now.
Wow.
I'm not sure who it is, but we'll lose them soon. Yeah. So, but thank you for tuning in.
They didn't want us to make this podcast.
So we made another one.
And another one.
We should definitely have another podcast. That's just things, another one. Things happened.
Yeah.
It's after dark.
Oh my God. Of
this episode.
We bring in Chris Hardwick. He interviews us
right.
about the previous episode. Because
we're friends now.
Well,
we saw after that.
We did. Yeah.
Let's get to some episode 30 shit.
Okay.
Let's talk about this.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I saw this in the links. I don't know. Who's Batty Winkle?
Batty Winkle is the ultra answer to social media. She's the antithesis to the Instagram hot woman.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Socialite Barbie?
Maybe.
Okay, so Socialite Barbie was a Barbie doll that was taken in various poses of something like very kind of predictable, like you'd have a downward shot of coffee and someone's legs crossed over and things like
that. I was a big fan of that Twitter account.
Batty Winkle is about what age would you say?
Oh, 85.
But
she's probably what, 28?
I think she's pushing like
70, 80.
Okay, listen, Batty Winkle's also, she has a check mark next to her. I didn't know that Instagram had blue check marks.
They do. She's got 3.1 million followers.
3.1 million followers. Her bio reads, stealing your man since 1928. Batty Winkle promo at gmail.com. So this woman is available to
1928. That's 89 years.
That's 89 yeah. years. This woman is 89.
Yeah.
And she is the hottest thing on Insta. Like,
is she vaping?
She's vaping. She gets high as hell. Like, look, this Instagram account, this will make, this is called, this moves.
Wow.
You want to up your Insta, like, feed? Yeah. Because a lot of it's, like, kind of depressing and mean and stuff. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This woman shows up in, I don't know. I found her, not randomly, but you know how you just kind of get into that hole and you're like, who's this?
I feel like we need a new segment of the show called Brandon Discovered a New Instagram Feed. Yes. And we completely leave its quality up to the audience to determine if it's actually good. Because you've given me some bad ones. You've given me some great ones. Rappers with Puppies.
Rappers with Puppies.
Yeah.
That's a whole
winner.
You want to go
it's
down.
A winner every time.
Yes, absolutely. But did I give you Breadface Blog? Do you know that one?
No.
Can I tell you about Breadface Blog?
Please.
I mean, we don't have to talk about Instagram feeds for much longer, but I have to tell you about Breadface Blog.
Okay. Breadface Blog.
I feel like it's a little more than what you're expecting because you're thinking about an Instagram feed that's mostly about bread, huh? Would you say that that's an accurate thing of what you're thinking right
when
now?
You say Breadface Blog, what I think is...
What do you think of?
I think, oh, it's a Breadface Blog. So it's a person who's got a bread face.
A person that has bread as a face?
Yeah.
Like, as in they have eyes, but it's like a loaf of bread.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's a loaf of bread face.
Yeah. I mean, that's like kind of that's kind of it. But like what really happens.
Of course, it says Los Angeles, California.
Oh, hey, this is where we born things like this.
Okay. So we got bread. She's got bread. She puts bread in a
Josh is gonna narrate what's happening on
like
bread
a cupcake
face blog.
Thing and, like, oh no
oh yes
why
yeah.
what
huh
she so yeah she just puts her face in bread
she puts her face in the bread
like she smashes
she
the
lays
bread.
Out the bread
oh and then she licks it and then he ate it
mm-hmm.
So
I'm telling you
what
I want the listener to understand that
it says 52,000 views, almost 53,000 views.
Now, between Batty Winkle, and she's got the blue door. She got the blue mark.
What? Why don't I have a blue mark?
I just feel like I'm having a really good time on Instagram, and I want to invite more people to have this good time.
Yeah.
Because people are doing really interesting things with these cameras. They never meant – cameras weren't meant to capture this.
They didn't want us to shoot these things.
If we show the inventor of the camera
what's
going on. We would, they would be very perplexed. Like, what do you guys, you all carry cameras in your pockets?
Yeah.
That's amazing. What are you taking pictures of? Oh, there's so much nature. Like, mostly ourselves.
Look, so I started, did you finish your High Life?
You can open mine. All right. We got two sponsors on this episode Miller, 30.
We got the champagne and beers.
Champagne.
And we got Full Sail Classic IPA. It's ridiculously tasty. Hood River, Oregon.
Does that say that on the river? It says it's ridiculously tasty. I don't like when things describe themselves on the label.
It's like giving yourself a nickname.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it. But it is Hood River, Oregon.
Do you like Hood River? You definitely accentuate the hood.
Yeah.
Because you
just... I just imagine my old stomping grounds. When we were coming up,
man.
Uh huh.
Hey, we came up
30. They said it wouldn't happen.
1987 is a big year.
Mm-hmm.
2017 is a. I don't know if it's a bigger year, but
it's the biggest year.
Mm.
A lot of things are happening.
A lot of things are happening.
Good, bad.
You got any more episode 30? What are you thinking about?
No, I didn't even look at the notes. I don't prepare.
I don't really have, like, we don't have, 40 years of hip hop.
Oh, yeah. The hood internet. Look at that segue.
Hey, you doing all right?
The hood internet released a,
that was terrible. I interrupted with a smack of the microphone. That's my bad.
So the hood internet, who is like, they are a staple of the internet, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been around forever.
Yeah. No, they definitely represent, they represent everything from the aesthetic of underground hip, like they represent the blog era of music. Like,
yeah,
it includes Hypem, it includes,
yeah,
SoundCloud, it includes MySpace.
Yeah.
Like,
but they were like, like from the beginning.
From like YouTube. Like,
yeah,
it was basically you would share. I mean, yeah, the hood, it's in the name. Basically, yeah, it's like the
it's two white guys from Chicago.
They got them roots.
Yeah.
Chicago don't fuck around, never did.
No, no. So the Hood Internet released a new mix. Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They'll take two unlikely pairings. Like, I think my favorite Hood Internet track is the DMX. Ooh. XX.
Yep.
I think it's actually called XX. Go to give it to you. It's the intro of the first XX album.
Right.
With the DMX song rapping over top of it. And it's right. Incredible. It's like legitimately really, really good.
And it takes a trained ear to hear that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I've been trying to get into that mix-up, mash-up world, and so have many other people.
Yeah.
But to pull it off cleanly and to make it feel natural,
yeah,
that's an art.
And you and others, and up until now, the Hood Internet was just doing it with one, two, maybe three sources.
Yeah. I mean, really, Girl Talk could get into, like, up to the five or six. And
yeah,
then
yeah,
other
yeah.
people that followed suit. Once you understood the format,
yeah,
then you're like, oh, I can do it too.
But yeah.
This is something different.
Yeah. Where 40 years of hip-hop, they basically, I mean, they kind of traverse the entire spectrum of
40 years of hip-hop.
Yeah. And they will lay multiple levels of things on top of each other. It's like a chance music with DMX rapping and the Sugar Hill Gang.
Right.
You know,
you'd have
ad-libbing.
You'd have four bars of a hip hop beat that is very prominent in whatever era that they're in at that moment.
Yeah.
And then you would have for that four bars, one bar spoken by several other several other artists, but they were also staying congruent with the subject matter.
Yeah.
That was the piece that was so satisfying. I think it was like a Puff Daddy line followed by a Kanye line. I forget
yeah,
which
yeah,
one
it
was.
Right.
What y'all gonna do?
Yeah.
And there was like, you realize like hip hop has been asking what y'all gonna do for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we definitely have to link to that, but man, I'm so impressed with music. I always am, but things like this, that was,
it seems like there's what's,
God damn it. Sorry.
It's terrible. What's super interesting, and I think only exists in hip hop, is there is a narrative arc in the genre that only exists in that one genre, right? Like there's pop music, but yeah, like there's John Mayer, you know, there's Katy Perry, and then there's like Frank Sinatra. Like that arc of pop music.
Yeah.
And the Beatles, right? Like, so you go the Beatles, you go Frank Sinatra, the Beatles, and then like Lynyrd Skynyrd or something, like whatever is like super popular in the '70s or something that's considered pop music, like Lionel Richie or okay. something,
Madonna
like, or Madonna in the '80s, and then the Backstreet Boys and New Kids
Madonna
on the Block
started in the '70s, right?
I think. I mean, like a Virgin was 84, 85.
Dang, no, yeah, she would have been way too young. So,
but just like the arc of pop music, there's not like a relationship.
Yes.
That exists. It's like it's a genre of music in the same way country is a genre of music. It has its characteristics that make it what it is.
Right.
But like hip hop and rap have this continual
yes
story.
Continuity.
Like yeah. And there's yeah. And there is like characteristics that make something hip hop. It's like spoken word poetry, right? Like mm-hmm. that's the kind of and you know, to set to a beat of some kind.
Yeah. Or it's like a beat itself, like legit, yeah. like the words themselves are
yeah.
a kinetic energy I mean, that you can track.
Yeah, yeah. And but the storyline of the music, you can literally do a 40 years
yeah.
and tell a singular story without parsing. Yeah. Like it's not like those Obama videos where like Obama's going to sing The Weeknd and we just take words and put them together. Like, no, there's one kind of story in hip hop, whether right. or not no matter where you're from, whether you're Eminem from growing up from Detroit or you're Ice Cube growing up in Compton. Chance, Kendrick, Chicago, Chicago, or any of those, you know, the Grandmaster Flash and the Sugar Hill Gang in the Bronx, like
right.
you can have this full story, and it's kind of the same story. It's all yeah. about. I mean, I think in the Jay-Z Unplugged,
that concert is so good.
It's incredible. But he talks about like we're going to talk about the struggle.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the arc of hip hop, right? It's like, it's about life and then about the struggle. And it's like it is a singular, you know, kind of story.
It's a singular story. And then it also has a unique, but familiar like timber. It's like, you know, when you hear it, like, yeah. I feel like other genres can get, they can infuse the other elements of other genres. Like, have you heard this like alt new country that kind of sounds like Linkin Park or Linkin Florida, Park's new album itself?
Like Florida, Georgia Lane or whatever. Something that's, you know, like, right. kind of like rock-ish
country. Rock-ish. Like, you got some 808s in there? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know what? On this fact, like, you know, David Banner has this sick line in something he calls Elvis on his latest track. And it says, like, put some 808s on that track. I bet you think that make it black.
Yeah.
And I resonate so hard with that because what you're talking about is like hip hop is you can't infiltrate it. You can definitely take some elements and put it over here or some, you can try to rearrange it, but like things like this video shows you like the lineage is too, it's got a thickness that mm-hmm. is, you can't muddle these waters. Everyone's been telling the same story from their perspectives.
Right.
And it's like the same words. They're using the same words, or mm-hmm. you can just like see the themes.
Well, yeah, thematically.
Thematic, yeah.
Is sort of the same story mm-hmm. told from different points of view.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to explore the different ways to describe the hoe-pimp relationship. And I feel like if you ignore certain yeah. aspects of it, you're yeah. going to get the full story.
Yeah, you got to get the full story of the hoe-pimp relationship or the drug-dealing story or the, like, coming-up-from-nothing story.
Oh, yeah. Coming up from...
Started from the bottom, and now we're here. Was there Drake at all in the 40-year
yes,
thing?
Yes, there was.
Damn it.
You didn't like that, did you?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Because I just assumed that even the hood internet would be like, he ain't.
Oh, what? You really? No, they go all the way to the most current stuff. And
yeah, there was a lot of chance. There was like two or three chance.
I think there was two.
Was it just two?
I think it was just two.
Because Kanye came really late, and I was really surprised. Because Chance came really early. This is not a chronological story. We are jumping between decades. We've got a Rakim verse over a Chance beat. I mean, I don't know if that's actually in there, but like you've got the full
right.
This is one umbrella, and we're just telling the story of all of it combined,
right? And man, there's so many just like really good moments, it's like the UGK moment, and then you had Andre 3000 was in there, I think, a couple of times actually couple of. So I mean, just how did you find it? Just like Twitter.
Yeah,
just
most of the things come from the Twitter these days.
But I brought up Godbox. Did you end up trying out that album?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
You were not a fan of
the aforementioned Elvis song. Really bothered me.
Oh, it bothered you?
It bothered me. I'm very conflicted about the conversation that is often brought up in these days of a cultural appropriation. I mean, that's, that entire song is like
about that, right?
Is about that.
And like, I guess like, what are you, as a person who's reading the Rachel Dolezal novel.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on a cultural appropriation.
Well,
Like, I'm not saying defend your.
Yeah, no, it's like when is it cultural appropriation? When is it like? I think I want to say that David Banner song like mentions like the Rolling Stones and other
Miley bands, Cyrus,
Miley Cyrus, which I understand.
Out here twerking.
Yeah. But like, is art and like culture not meant to be embraced and replicated. Shared and like, I understand we look at Elvis and we look at the Rolling Stones and say like they stole a very direct thing, or jazz as an entire genre. Mm-hmm. The actual creators of this thing were not appreciated in the way Elvis or the Rolling Stones,
right,
or other things. I mean, Rolling Stones literally started as a Muddy Waters cover band.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess what are you asking? Are you saying that they don't deserve their own validity, or what?
When is cultural appropriation not actually cultural appropriation and just like, right, people are mad at Justin Timberlake when he tweeted his support at Jesse Williams when he gave a BET speech, and people were mad. I'm like, oh, you started your entire career. Like, I think even the David Banner song says like Usher is supposed to be doing the thing Justin Timberlake did. Mm-hmm. It's like, but why can't Justin Timberlake also, like, yeah. Usher, it's not that Justin Timberlake's preventing Usher from doing, they are both huge stars.
Right.
Like,
right.
I just don't, like, when does Justin Timberlake doing an album with Timberland dancing like Usher and Michael Jackson, when does
he get to own that? When does have it without having it attributed to copying someone else?
Yeah. Like, and why is he not allowed to just like also be a participant in that?
Right.
Cause he's, right. I think
white people can dance. It's okay.
Yeah. John, white people can sing.
It's all right, man.
No, yeah, white people can sing R&B.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can have Timberland beats.
Yeah. Underneath. Right.
It's just like,
I think cultural appropriation happens when, I think it's a personal thing. I think it's something that happens inside, meaning mm-hmm. that it's when you view it, mm-hmm. you don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are plenty of behaviors that Justin, behaviors and performances that he made that made black people, white people, purple people, whatever, mm-hmm. like just made us happy that he did that or mm-hmm. sang that or danced in that way. Mm-hmm. I think it's when something becomes perverse and you kind of can't.
When it's a costume, like Miley Cyrus is now a pop star, like country pop star again, and all the twerking and all that stuff is gone.
Right.
Like, I understand the Miley thing because it is a costume. It is the Rachel Dolezal-ing.
Yeah. It's when it feels bad. That's when cultural appropriation happens, when it feels bad. And you're like, and we might not have like a super articulate way to express it, but songs like Elvis are fun for me to listen to because the lyrics sound, because it sounds cool and like it sounds good. And
Solange had the FUBU song, which was it's the same sentiment.
Right. So what do you think, like, where do you think it sounded like the beginning as though like, hey, when can this be a celebration? Like, when can cultural appropriation be something that we look at it not through a negative lens?
Like why can't a white person play jazz and it not be problematic? Like, when does that happen? Like, if
John Mayer? Actually, that's kind of funny. You could call him out in one of these songs, probably.
Yeah, I mean, John Mayer is kind of stealing the Stevie Ray Vaughan thing, who stole from Hendrix,
right?
Who stole from, you know, Robert Johnson.
But why does it feel different when you look at John Mayer as opposed to when you look at some of Miley Cyrus's behavior?
Well, I mean, John Mayer is pretty problematic. I think that's a bad example. His penis is racist.
He says
some dumb things.
I think that's an episode 30 thing. I think that is that has been said, I think, through many of our episodes that John Mayer's penis is very problematic.
Yeah.
It's just not good for them.
Yeah, but like, I guess using Justin Timberlake as an example, like, it doesn't feel like a costume.
Right.
Right? Like, he just grew up listening to this style of music. Mm-hmm. And he is performing what he knows.
But
it's seen as problematic.
What's seen as problematic?
Justin Timberlake, you know, standing on the shoulders of black folks. Right. He's able to be the megastar. Whereas somebody who he's standing on somebody's shoulder who could have also been that same star of the correct background.
Right.
Even though Usher would be that person, and Usher is also a megastar.
I do think that there's kind of a there is a discussion to be had about calling something out like this, where we think that there's not enough room for other stars to come up. There's enough room for everyone to have their expression be celebrated. And one of the things that, like, because Justin's here, these other black people aren't. I think that drawing the correlation is somewhat appropriate, but I think probably oftentimes not. It's more like someone else wasn't also brought to that level. And I think that the appropriation conversation is easier to witness. It's easier to articulate and point at and say, hey, there should be a black person singing this type of song. And why do we only have this? And the truth is that we don't only have this. It's that the people that have a lot of power in exposing media and content to a majority of the people make decisions about what those people see. And so it's a little bit on the consumer to look for something else. Like, you can not listen to Justin Timberlake. That's totally possible.
So, it's hard.
No, I haven't listened to Justin Timberlake in like years. I mean, you know.
But like, I guess like Adele. Let's take Adele. Adele's basically Aretha Franklin.
You could have just ended that with basic.
It's just rude.
I know. But I do like that my facial expression gets to be recorded with that.
And you cheated out towards camera like a like a pro.
Hey, you know, I've been watching The Office.
But like Adele is basically Aretha Franklin. Like stealing, it's the same thing. Or like, and why is that fine?
Because she's British.
She's still white.
British isn't white. Not so like American people. They're kind of like above white a little bit. Like, I feel like we would look for
like Mark Ronson can do the whole like 70s funk thing. Like, it's James Brown music and it's fine because he's British.
It now when we talk about like global acceptance, I don't know. That expands the scope beyond where
Because if you're like a Chinese rapper and you're rapping about, you know,
the life struggle.
The struggle. Is that appropriation? Like, I guess here's the question. Like, let's reverse the base level. So Kung Fu Kenny. Clearly appropriating Bruce Lee and like Chinese martial arts films. Is that okay? How is that okay?
Because he's black.
But how, why?
Things aren't fair, Josh.
I know. I just like, it's not that I have a problem with like the Kung Fu Kenny. I'm just questioning why,
where's
the line?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, why is this line?
Some things we're more lenient with other people and we let them get away with more.
This line seems to be very fluid. And that's fine as long as we all acknowledge it's a super fluid line.
Can I ask you this? Does Kung Fu Kenny feel gross to you personally?
I watched, we watched together, separate, together but separate.
Yes, just like most of our.
But we watched, was it Coachella? So the Coachella, like 3 days after Damn came out. We watched that show and like there's a guy on stage performing martial arts behind Kendrick. And the opening video is a almost parody of like Kung Fu films. I mean, it might even be just a parody.
Like a parody of something that's existing. This is like, we're not going to take that footage, but we're going to remake it.
I mean, he's, I want to say he's even like, there's actual subtitles, you know, there's like Chinese iconography behind him.
There's like Raiden hats.
I mean, yeah, yeah. He's calling himself Kung Fu Kenny. I mean, he's doing like fake martial arts. Right. He's not. I mean, he's not Bruce Lee. He's not a trained Kung Fu fighter.
But like, how old is Kendrick?
He's a little younger than us. He's like a little bit younger.
Yeah. What did he grow up with? Did he grow up with Mortal Kombat? Did he grow up with culture of things like kung fu?
Sure. Hey, I mean,
what are we going to call Wu-Tang? Like, because that's not even, those aren't even English words.
Yeah.
Are they?
There is a cultural connection between Black folks and martial arts.
Right. Yes. I mean,
like, but that's
40 years of hip hop, Josh. That's what he's trying to say with Kung Fu Kenny.
It's just like, when, like, why is that fine?
Right.
And Miley twerking isn't, and I'm not defending Miley twerking.
I know you're not, but like, you're asking the question because it's not obvious, or at least
it is. I mean, I get it. I do understand it. Okay. It's just like, I wish we could all just acknowledge that it's a super fluid and we will turn on an instant if we don't like the thing you did.
I think it's because as soon as you feel like someone's making fun of you, as soon as like, and cultures can do that. Like, as a culture, people feel like they were being made fun of when Miley did that.
But it
I'd be hard pressed to understand that the Asian culture felt made fun of by Kung Fu Kenny.
Really? Because you don't think like those, like doing like the crane and kicking and like the style of, you know, 70s Kung Fu films that he probably grew up watching the same way we grew up watching 70s Kung Fu films.
Right.
And a lot of people our age grew up watching 70s Kung Fu films.
I feel like it's more that like remember like blaxploitation films during that time? We're talking about that marriage of black culture and Asian movie Kung Fu shit, which I am only just now seeing as like, wow, that's actually like a super tight relationship.
Yeah,
like,
it's a very tight.
We should look into that. We should understand.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in Bruce Lee's movie
Fist.
Yeah, the one where he was like climbing up with the levels. He defeats him. I don't know if he actually kills him.
Okay, yes.
Because it's Bruce Lee. He doesn't really kill anybody.
They pass out.
But it's the movie where like, I think he goes up all these different levels to fight different people. And I think Kareem is early.
Yeah.
Because he was actually like a trainee of Bruce Lee. But
yeah. I'm going to give you some homework. Or I'm going to give us some homework. Let's try to understand if the Asian culture had a response to Kendrick's performance. Or because we do understand that Kung Fu movies are a form of, they could be construed as a form of exploitation or like a focusing on this aspect of that culture and using it as a commodity to sell to others.
Does it really come down to whiteness versus everything else? So like
if white people didn't suck so bad all the time, like I don't think this would be a conversation.
You're right. But like the cultural shifting and fluidity on the, Kung Fu Kenny and all that stuff that can flow in and out.
Yeah.
But when white folks do it, it's like, okay, well, stop it. You're already in charge. Why do you get to know? Stop it. This is our thing.
I think it's the cherry picking thing. It's where like, hey, you're good for the entertainment value, but any other type of like worth.
Yeah.
It's like I decide your worth.
Yeah.
And no one likes someone else deciding their worth.
It's purely just stealing culture rather than lifting the people.
Right.
Got it.
And I think this is the perfect time
to talk about Black Panther.
Into Black Panther.
Yeah.
Who is stealing it back.
My life. Every moment of my life.
I've watched that trailer like four times.
I've seen it.
10? Yeah, that's because Josh is better than me, everyone.
No. You can look behind you and see I like Marvel stuff.
Hey, have you heard?
I really like Marvel. Marvel gives me
extreme pleasure.
251 days until Black Panther comes out.
Yeah. Are we going?
I mean, if you want to come down, I'm definitely seeing it at 9 p.m. at the Arclight. Hollywood Thursday, whatever day that is in February. If you guys want to join, I will have probably row X as I normally do. This is a thing that has been happening for years.
For any listener that hasn't been to a movie with Josh, which is probably
most of you.
Yeah.
when there's a movie that comes out that Josh is particularly excited about, he reserves your seat.
And doesn't tell you.
He'll let you know later.
Yeah.
But you just saw, he knows how many days until this movie that comes out next year. I do would like to sit the furthest from you, if that's possible.
Why?
Oh, I don't like sharing my popcorn.
Oh, I don't get popcorn.
Good.
If there's popcorn involved, it's only during the trailers.
Right.
Once the trailers are done, I'm done.
Strict.
I'm movie in. Movie. I am in.
Engaged. No milk duds for this guy.
Yeah. Black Panther. So 251 days.
251 days.
If you guys want tickets, let me know. I'm buying 10 the moment they become available.
So
I've already got rid of 8 of them. Just 8 of them are already. So there's 2 of you. 2 lucky people. Get to be in my crew.
I feel like, okay, so on the heels of Get Out, which not even necessarily on the heels of it, because it'll be like a full year later, but
almost a year exact, because Get Out came out in January.
So Black Panther
and Daniel Kaluuya is involved.
I feel like this is going to be like going to a concert. I felt like when I went to the showing of Get Out, I felt like I was getting ready. It was like I was going to go see Nelly. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, I gotta go get a fade before I go see Get Out.
Yeah, yeah. I do.
Barbara asks you what you're up to. Like, oh, yo, I'm gonna see Black Panther tonight.
Yeah,
like, you gotta cut it up.
I do really want to see Black Panther at least once at what's the theater? The Howard Hughes Theater in Compton. Or Crenshaw, I think it's on Crenshaw.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, wait, Crenshaw's a, it's not a city, it's street. A street.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see, because I guess to tie in Wonder Woman as well.
As we should do always.
There were screenings of Wonder Woman in Texas that were women only.
Yep.
And some white dudes got mad. They're like, this is sexism, blah, 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 blah.
White people are already angry in Texas. So they didn't need this movie.
They did not need a woman-directed, woman-starring superhero movie to have an all-women screening.
Damn it, dude.
Just like, that's all the too much women.
We can't win!
The white men in Texas just haven't won enough. But I really, really want to go to the all-black screenings of Black Panther because you know there's going to be some all-black screenings.
I didn't even think about that.
There's going to be some all-black screenings.
That's going to be so much fun.
It's got to be insane.
That's going to be so much fun. And not because other people aren't there. It's just like...
that the energy in that room.
Yeah.
I assume like the energy in the all-women screening of Wonder Woman was just like, it was electric.
Yeah.
Did you see Wonder Woman?
I haven't yet.
Okay, it's very good.
Yeah?
There's just some problems.
Yeah.
Because it's a superhero movie.
Have you heard of problems?
Yeah.
In because movies?
It's a superhero movie, right? You know,
yeah.
And most superhero movies go too far.
Right.
And this movie goes too far.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a problem in many, many superhero movies. And okay. It's a DC movie. So like, let's just.
So there's already, so that's a problem already.
Problems. Yeah.
Wow. So biased.
Yes. This is a Marvel house.
It is. This house is not divided.
But it's excellent. And I assume that space, when you saw Wonder Woman, a movie directed by a woman, starring a woman, being a fucking badass in a room full of women, that right. would have been electric.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And my enjoyment of the Black Panther trailer was heightened by being on Twitter as it was happening.
Oh, yeah, because Black Twitter. Because
Black Twitter was going.
I really hope that Black Twitter like overtakes regular Twitter somehow.
It kind of has, right?
In a way.
Like,
in a way.
For me, it has. Like, there's politics, Black Twitter. That's it. That's my entire Twitter feed.
Kind of. Oh, I have a bunch of art shit, which you should have this art shit. Get on Betty, or what was her name?
You don't even remember.
Beattie?
You don't even remember who your girl is.
iPad's dead. We can't even get her back up.
Oh, man.
But she's stealing, you know, Mrs. Steal Yo Man since 1928. I will go to the all-black screening I will travel for that.
Yeah.
Should we travel for that? Should we go somewhere?
I mean, Los Angeles is somewhere. Should we go to, like, Atlanta or something?
Oh,
Because, like, okay, the Atlanta screenings of now, Black Panther.
I feel like that's, like, the kind of thing that Dev and, come on. What's his name?
Arnold?
Arnold.
Yeah.
Dev and Arnold would travel very far to see the Indian equivalent. Or Indian's the right word.
For Dev?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think I saw ZZ Albertsons the other day. That was weird.
Word.
Yeah.
Was he?
I doubt it.
I don't know. It's super possible.
Yeah.
We all feel like he's super famous.
Yeah.
But he probably drives a Prius.
Yeah.
Which I've been thinking of names for my Prius.
What's your name for your Prius?
I have a friend whose wife named her car Jermaine Duprius. And I have been trying so hard. I can't think of anything even close.
That's pretty good.
I was thinking like Pringles. Nope. But like it's not. No, like Pringles Jermaine is like could do like a little chuckle, but like no, Jermaine Duprius is like, I didn't know that we could name things like this.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So shouts to Carolyn.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Caroline.
Ooh.
Well,
you just offended somebody. Because you can't get that wrong.
It's kind of both, because she answers to both. If someone answers to both names always, for like years.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and then you actually find out how they introduce themselves. No, the synapse is made. Like, we're old. We can't correct a new name. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Should I just say Carol for short so that I don't screw up the end part?
Caroline. Yeah, sweet Caroline.
It always comes back to 40 days of hip hop. 40 days, 40 night.
Black Panther.
Yeah. So I think all the shots. It's a teaser.
Yeah. It doesn't even show anything.
But they're so beautiful. They're so good. They all look like the Childish Gambino album cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. Ryan Coogler.
Yeah,
he's pretty good at making movies. He's real good at making movies.
Yeah, what kind of story is gonna? Well, isn't there another Marvel movie this summer though?
Yeah, well, there's two. Spider-Man comes out in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and then Thor Ragnarok comes out in November.
Right,
and so then Black Panther comes out in February, and then I think it's Avengers 3 comes out in May.
I mean, so you just got this lineup of stuff that's happening. Do you think Black Panther
will... I can barely handle it myself. It's honestly too much.
You come up, man.
It's
1987. Or sorry, 2017.
Yeah.
By the way, I've always had trouble saying years on this show. I realized that as I look back through the past 30 episodes. Mm-hmm. Whenever I tried to say 24 to mean the year 2004.
Oh, you can say 04.
Well, yeah, but like I've historically not been able to say years on this show. But I'll get better at that, audience.
Yeah, you got
to
work on that for the next 30.
Some goals.
Yeah.
We'll set some goals.
Black Panther. I want to just frame by frame analyze that teaser. It's a teaser. There's no hint at story.
It changes every. Well, I mean, yeah, but he has to definitely defeat a tumbling car and then jump off of the tumbling car onto another car while the Run the Jewels samples plays.
His suit is adamantium because that's where all the adamantium comes from.
Because they ran out of titanium.
Well, no, this is the richest and rarest. Mineral.
See, even our in the black world, even our black heroes have to be like, it's the richest, most rarest.
But they're like the most, like, there's like this tiny city in Africa, this little country in Africa that's the richest, most futuristic city and country on the planet. Like, it's not even a contest,
right?
Which you could see in the trailer. It's like spaceships.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's their normal transport. It's like spaceships.
That's the bus.
Yeah. That's the shitty Greyhound. Yeah. The poor people get on the
floating spaceship.
The spaceship. Yeah.
Oh, that's the world. I think a lot of us see that. Poor people spaceship.
Yeah. and his suit's bulletproof because it's metal. He's in a metal suit.
Right. Right.
It's the same, like same material that Captain America's shield was made from.
Ah, and his whole suit's made out of it.
And his whole suit's made out of it.
That's why they're fighting Avengers 2.
My phone's going off.
I got to remember to turn the fridge on.
I feel like that's the first time that
I've done that.
That you've done that.
Yeah, that's definitely on me. But it was also to remind me of myself to turn the refrigerator. I had a reminder
for like an hour and a half, right?
It was like 2 hours, yeah. Just, audience, I want you to feel some sympathy. I had some liquid eggs in my fridge, and I was doing some voiceover in my house on Thursday. It was a very long session. And so I turned my refrigerator off because I was doing it in the living space because I needed a larger space and it sounded good in the corner.
Yeah.
It sounded very nice.
Hey.
I engineered the show.
By the way, audience, I did get a picture of this setup because Josh sends me
literally everything.
Sometimes Josh is just like living his life and I'll just get a snapshot of it. Just some just some shoes.
Yeah.
Like no context before.
Yeah.
We do say good morning every morning.
That's do say good morning.
Even if it's afternoon, but.
Yeah. But we try to get it in before noon.
But please,
so I had some liquid eggs in my fridge. It was next to the wet ham, and
which is present right now.
There's ice cream sandwiches in the freezer if you really want one for lunch. I had some liquid eggs, and I had to throw it all out because I turned the refrigerator off.
Mm.
And I realized the refrigerator was off.
Yep,
like 10 hours later.
Ooh.
It was too long. It was too far. 5 hours, I can kind of get away with it if I turn it on all the way. Yeah. Like high.
Yeah. But you're not going to save a 10-hour trip.
No eggs are lasting.
No perishable is coming back from a 10-hour trip.
I also lost some bacon. It's just sad.
This is the most amount of food you've had in your refrigerator.
Well, yeah.
And then you lost it, and I feel the sympathy for you.
Yeah, and luckily I didn't have the ice cream at that time.
If we could get some tweets coming towards Josh for this hard time.
Look, if you guys want to send me, like, if you guys want to set up a GoFundMe.
Yeah, Feel Better Fridge. I feel like that's got a, like it's got a nice, like, alliteration in it a little bit. Like, Feel Better Fridge.
Or if you want to set up a GoFundMe, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, audience. Set up a GoFundMe. Raise some money so I can buy some bacon.
Right.
Bacon's very expensive. It's like six to eight dollars.
$6 to $8. Like six is when it's on sale.
Yeah.
And
depends what you get. Like if you you gotta get the like uncured center cut.
Uncured center cut is an option.
Yeah.
I'm fucking with like turkey.
Sometimes not a turkey bacon household.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Right? There was no. Do you know how disgusting?
Legitimately, just wanted to see your face.
Do you know how disgusting turkey bacon is?
I do, actually. That's why I kind of said it, and I was like, I'm going to start a whole fucking thing about this. I don't stand behind it. Like, stop yelling at me. Like, for one, slow the demeanor down. There we go. Okay, now let's talk about turkey bacon.
But like turkey bacon, though.
After a fresh breath, after like a long breath.
Who thought that was a good idea?
We all do.
Has anyone actually tasted turkey bacon who thought it was a good idea?
In theory, turkey bacon should work. In practice, get that the fuck out of my oven start respecting yourself.
Why is just look. We all do things that aren't great for our bodies. Some of us eat ice cream sandwiches.
Some of us do podcasts.
Some of us do podcasts in a hot living room, and he could turn his air conditioner on.
Yeah. My
ass is sweating. Yeah. Some of us eat bacon.
Yeah.
From the rump of a pig.
Yeah. That's the best part.
It's so good. And like
the butt of everything is the best part.